Sunday the 17th of December 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Make Room. Sermon title, Make God a Priority. Bible reading, Luke chapter 1 verses 57 to 66. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding. So it's Luke chapter 1 verses 57 to 66.
The birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosened. He began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Gwen, for reading God's word for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we pray, Lord, as we look at this word together, that you would open our minds and our hearts so that we can receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue with our new sermon series, Make Room. And this morning we're looking at Make God a Priority. Our Bible reading is one of those stories that we know so well. But let's go back a few verses to remind us why Zechariah is unable to utter a word. Verses 11 to 20 tell us that an angel appeared to Zechariah to give him some wonderful news about Elizabeth, who was to give birth to a son, and his name is to be John. He should have been shouting his good news from the rooftops, deliriously happy, praising God with all his heart. Instead, he doubted the angel's word, which in effect was the same as doubting God's word and promises. The angel had been gentle with and understanding with Zechariah's fear, but in the face of a choice to not believe God's word, he became very stern. The sign the angel gives is 9 months of silence. One could call it a pregnant pause in his life, possibly a chance for him to ponder on his unbelief. Elizabeth's response to God's gracious act was very different. She believes God and says in verse 25, "The Lord has done this for me." She gives God all the thanks and praises and allows God time to prepare her for her ministry that she would have with her young cousin Mary later. She also needed preparation for herself and Zechariah to parenthood as they care for baby John, the one who would be the forerunner to Jesus Christ. We now pick up the story with Elizabeth giving birth, and the announcement is made. It's a boy. Mother and child are fine. Praise the Lord at the joy of a new life. And when Zechariah writes down the name John, he was able to speak and he praises the Lord. Three things I believe we can learn from this passage. And the first is time to stop. Taking things for granted is a common ailment among us. how easy it is for us to miss the miracles of life active among us each day, overlooking the real wonders of life as we seek to make things happen on our own, struggling and striving to achieve the great goals we've set for ourselves. We miss the true value of those seemingly small successes and triumphs played out before us and around us each day. Ours is a cynical age and a not so easily impressed culture when been there, done that seems to be the latest and most often used phrase. Add to that the prevailing attitude of, what have you done for me lately? And we may well begin to wonder where it's leading. How often do we neglect time spent with God? When was the last time you thanked God for all that he has given to you or done for you? Are you able to recognise God's abundant grace, mercy and peace in your life? When did you last stop and wait on God, giving him time to guide your life? That's all God wants from us, for us to give him time, to stop doing things in our own strength and recognise God's purposes and plans in our lives. It's time to stop putting ourselves first and to put God first as we seek his heart instead of going off in our own direction, doing what we want, refusing to hear or failing to receive all the good things God has in store for us, because he has so much he wants to give. God's grace comes to us every day. He created us, loves us, cares for us in body, mind and spirit. We have a freedom of choice, just like Zechariah, to believe or not to. And we know how things turned out for him when he failed to hear God's word. We must make room for God in our everyday lives, not just on a Sunday, but 24/7. Take time to stop in our busy world, to allow God to minister to us. We are continually blessed with God's grace and creativity, but we fail to see them simply because we do not take time to stop, look and listen to all the wonders of life going on around us and miss out on God's opportunities. Secondly, be open to God. What is God saying to the church, to you, to me this morning? These past weeks we've been looking at rivers of love, and perhaps the word for us this morning is to keep on paddling. It can be scary, can't it, to step out of our comfort zones, especially if the waters become turbulent. Some of you may be facing incredible white water episodes right now and are struggling with what life seems to throw at you. Remember, though, that God does not ask us not to be afraid, but gives us permission to shake like leaves on a tree on a windy day. But he does say, keep on doing what I say. Listen to me. Be open to my word. Keep on paddling. You are not alone, and you will eventually break through to smooth sailing. God will never ask us to do something beyond us, but he will ask us to be open to his will and his prompting to make a difference, even if we feel we can't do it. Trust in God. Don't be like Zechariah, who doubted, but be like Elizabeth, who believed the impossible can become the possible with God. Sometimes we have to allow God time to move in our lives. And there will be times when we feel that life is just too difficult and we may feel like giving up. But remember Goliath, the giant, who was threatening the army of Israel. No one wanted to deal with him. They were afraid and stood around, not knowing what to do, until David took the initiative and said, "Somebody will have to fight him, so I will." And we all know the outcome. When you face problems in your life, don't hope it will go away. Be open to God. Tell him your problems and allow him to fight on your behalf. Because God loves you and wants to protect you. Be open to his voice, because there is nothing that he does not already know about us. And he wants to do so much more for each and every one of us if we're only willing to give him free range in our lives, which leads us nicely on to my final point. Make God a priority. The German writer Johann Wolfgang von Goethe grasped the importance of priorities, and he said, "Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things that matter least." Life is a lot like a coin. You can spend it any way you wish, but you can only spend it once. Choosing one thing over all the rest through your life is a difficult thing to do. Life places before us hurdles of possibilities, but each one of us must decide what priority takes first place in our life. We all have something or someone who will occupy that first place in life. Even God realized this nature of man when he gave us the first commandment in Exodus 23. "You shall have no other gods before me." Keeping God first is the first law of a successful life. Jesus is the example of that law. He knew God's calling on his life and was willing to give up everything, even his own life, putting God first. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." When we fail to keep God as our priority, we open the way for Satan to gain a foothold, because he is continually walking among us, looking for an opportunity to pounce. Job 1:7, the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." He is present in this world. Although we are not able to physically see him, we do know that he is here and roaming. We cannot let him deceive us into believing that we have plenty of time. The fact is that we do not know what will happen from one minute to the next. Life is short, no matter how many years we live, but eternity is forever. And that must be our goal. And the only way we are able to achieve that is by making room for God in our busy schedule. Our time on earth is important, and we are to spend it preparing for eternity. Today is the day that God has given us. Today is the day we are to live for Jesus, putting him first as we remember that this was God's most precious gift to us, a son, his son, who would change the world by his birth, death, and rising to glory, setting us free from the sins that bind us. We all have a choice in life, to stop and see God at work, or to carry on with the hustle and bustle of life. There is also a choice to be open to what God is doing or not. Many of the folks in the Bible strove to make God a priority. The wise men, Simeon, John the Baptist, all waiting on the word of God for the promise of salvation. They had openness to another way of living, to another reality beyond our physical world, an openness to miracles and God's work among us. Don't miss out on all that God is offering. Make room for him today. And as you do, make God a priority, giving him the prime position in our lives instead of squeezing him in when we have time. We owe our very souls to him, and as such, we need to pass on his love, compassion, peace, and mercy in our everyday lives as we come before him every day with our prayers of supplications and thanksgiving. After a lifetime of faithful waiting, Zachariah and Elizabeth's prayers are answered. God had not forgotten them. He had heard their prayers and was about to do something amazing. God's purpose and plan for our salvation was being unveiled through the birth of John, who had a very important role to play in preparing the way for Jesus' ministry. God does not just send John to prepare the way. He sends his prophets, messengers, and his word. Advent is all about being prepared. Are we prepared for him? Are we ready to make room for him as we receive all that he offers? May God's gift of faith and life inspire us to graceful and grace-filled living, as we learn anew not to take for granted the miracles of love and life all about us. May we see in each person, each event and happening, God's power at work to heal, to love, to redeem and to save. May we continually remember to pray, praise and give thanks by what we say and do, as God gives us an opportunity not only to receive the miracles in store for us, but to be a miracle in the lives of others too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have called each one of us. Father, we are your disciples. Help us, Lord, to share your love, your grace and mercy to others. Let us be a light to this dark world. Father, help us not only to prepare our own lives for when we eventually meet you, but to help others to prepare their lives. Because, Lord, we know that one day each and every one of us will stand before you. Come, Lord Jesus, be amongst us, bless us, love us, and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.